This is House Beautiful Out Loud.
Gone to the dogs, with or without friendly fabrics, Carol Prezant, which is me, wouldn't have it any other way. I have a new dog, my 11th. No, my lifetime 11th. She's a toy breed, a 4-pound Miki. Her name is Bean, and she's been guaranteed not to shed, not to bark, and not to go walkies. She has a litter box. Okay, I see you out there wondering if I'm dog savvy or naive, or just masochistic, if I'm a hair-covered recluse, a regular at Westminster, a pathetically lonely person, a compulsive dog groomer, an indifferent housekeeper, and or an addict. Three of these things are true. Like you, perhaps, I'm a lover of hardwood floors. I'm a big fan of carpeting, too. But I've at last renounced the former for plain old paint on plywood. The latter, to be honest, I regularly and foolishly invest in, knowing that it's way wrong for my animal house. But there's snow blue carpeting in my bedroom right now, and guess what? You've guessed. Bean the Wonder Dog prefers it infinitely to her grass-lined litter box. Carpet's so much plusher than plastic grass, after all, retaining, as it does, the delicious, yet somehow indelible, scents of all the dogs who've, gone before. All the heady aromas and ineradicable stains left by Juno, for instance, my sweet basket case of a lurcher. Plus plenty of Ode Dajax, the big soulful greyhound who lives with me now and who's so mannerly. He'd rather wake me at 2 in the morning and at 4 in the morning, then at 6 in the morning, than sully a floor. He's unusual, my Ajax, because unlike the 4 Jack Russells who wrangled constantly and often drew blood over who would get to gnaw the gimp on my sofa, he never puts his paws up. Not on guests, not on beds, not on counters, which is serendipity in the kitchen, naturally, since he doesn't snatch my Cheetos or pizza. But oh, it's hard to accept that he'll never hop up and watch the news with me, or loll on the sofa like other retired racers do, or sleep winsomely beside me in dead roach position. Bean makes up for him, however. As Bean sees it, her job here is to cruise every cushion and winkle out the smells, the stains, the dog hair, the stuck-on pieces of treat that make my house her happy home. My Bean's super ecstatic when she's snuffling up the residue of crumbs left by Emma and Diva and Jimmy Cagney and Cozy and Billy and Blue. All those lovely dogs who've made me thankful that, among other things, my taste has always run to the socks under the bed school of decorating, otherwise known as British or shabby chic. I've found this to be an especially forgiving decor because, along with antiques and granny-type gewgaws, it allows me to hide a multitude of doggy sins under the mixed blessings of the daily furniture polish and wall-to-wall slickers. You know, those ill-fitting things that slide around and never quite cover completely while still being, sadly, permeable. And entirely unsuitable, by the way, for mid-century modern or Louis XV. Beneath such concealments lie the mileposts of my life. The thoroughly downless cushion where Emma loved to curl. The oily patch on the club chair arm. A perfect silhouette of Juno's chin. The inexpungible remnants of someone's dog sick, I never knew whose, on the pricey chintz, centered inevitably in that large white space between the cabbage rose and the lilacs. Not to mention the traces of God knows what in the meandering paw prints whose crazy patterns I've learned, I think, to love. But I wouldn't be human if I didn't sometimes ask myself, would I completely lose it if my friends, say, sat on the sofa in their wet, muddy clothes? If they ate pate on my throw pillows? If they drooled or forgot their Depends? Well, totally. Yet only dogs can convincingly create that bona fide lived-in look. You can try it with children, of course, but they don't smell the same. Besides, my own fur family has always seemed so apologetic about the triannual carpet cleaning and the plywood floors, all except the Jack Russells, and so endearingly puzzled and saddened as well by the recurring disappearance of the tasty bits. And hey, I've learned to be semi-serene about the chewed woodwork, the overnight surprises, and the toilets as water bowls. Perfect houses are scary, don't you think? Which is not to say that tucked behind the smaller books on dog training on my bookshelves, there isn't ample space for paper towels, sticky hair pickups, wholly inadequate stain removers, and extra strength room deodorizers. If you see me at the supermarket with one more fabulous, new, advanced, incredible stain remover in my cart, just spray me. There's space, too, for the dog toothpaste I brush my canines with. I know, but it tastes like chicken. And for the drawers full of pricey, far too large meds that sort of exploded when I tried to get Ajax to swallow a single capsule wrapped in peanut butter, and he bit into it and spit what was evidently the dog equivalent of Brussels sprouts on my newly repainted floor. And why suddenly am I finding myself remembering this resin solar puppy I saw online? Guaranteed not to shed, not to bark, and not to go walkies, it simply wags its tail, endlessly, unless it's cloudy. My 12th dog, perhaps? Only in some house that's not a home.